As I mentioned last Sunday morning, we're going to be focusing our attention this year on our rich heritage of faith. And in order for us to really consider the object of our heritage of faith, who of course we know is to be the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, we're going to explore the book of Hebrews together on Sunday mornings. So this morning, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. This is the first chapter of that wonderful book that elevates Christ to the highest position in our faith. Hebrews chapter 1. Perhaps you recall a similar commercial, but not too long ago there was a television commercial in which two people were having a conversation in some public setting. There was all sorts of activity going around, a lot of hubbub, a lot of conversation. These particular individuals were talking about financial investments, and then when one of them said, "My broker is Merrill Lynch," and Merrill Lynch says, and as soon as he said that, everyone in the room hushed, and it was completely quiet, because they wanted to know what Merrill Lynch had to say. Then as the commercial went on, the announcer's voice came on to say, "When Merrill Lynch speaks, people listen." We all know people that we like to listen to, right? I may not be one of them. I apologize if that's the case. But have you ever known someone that when they spoke, you really listened to them? Your dad? Is he? You know, why did you listen to him? A lot of times, it wasn't their impressive delivery or because they have all the flowery language and they're very interesting to speak. A lot of times it's because you wanted to hear what they had to say. In the case of your dad, you had to know what they had to say, otherwise you'd be in trouble. But you wanted to hear what they had to say, and that is why you'd listen. Most people only really listen to those they want to hear from. Most people only really listen from those they want to hear from. Isn't that the truth? You don't want to hear something from someone. You may be sitting there. Perhaps you don't want to hear what I have to say or what God has to say. Perhaps you don't want to hear what your parents have to say or your boss has to say. A lot of times it'll go in one ear and out the other. You're listening to them, but you're not really hearing and heeding what they have to say. My question for you this morning is, are you really listening to God? Are you really listening to God? Do you want to hear from Him? Do you want to hear what God has to say? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 teaches us that God has spoken. God has spoken. Let's look at how God has spoken in these three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. An introduction to this wonderful, majestic book that talks about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It starts out with God. God, who at sundry times, or at many different times, and in diverse, many different ways, diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, again referring to His Son, by whom also He made the worlds, who, again referring to His Son, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God has spoken. And my challenge to you is, are you listening? Are you listening to God who has revealed Himself through His Word and through His Son? The first two verses answer the question, how has God spoken? How has He spoken? It shows us in these three verses two distinct ways that God has spoken to you and to me and to all the world, in fact. God first spoke through His reliable servants. And we see this in verse 1 when it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God first spoke through His reliable servants. When did God speak? In time past. This phrase "in time past" for me means and reveals to us that God has always revealed Himself to man because of His love and mercy. Isn't that wonderful to know that the God who created this entire universe, the God who created you and created me, wants to reveal Himself to you, wants to reveal Himself to me, wants to reveal Himself to the world? And so He spoke. He did not leave Himself without a witness. He spoke in time past, and the way He spoke has always been consistent. What you see about God in the book of Genesis is the same thing you see about God in the book of Revelation. All throughout the Scripture, all through those 66 books, and especially through the Old Testament, which is being referred to here, throughout the entire Old Testament, God has chosen to speak and reveal Himself in a very consistent way, because God never changes. Who did He speak to according to this verse? It says that He spoke unto the fathers. These were the ones that God chose to speak to. Can you imagine what a tremendous honor it must have been for these fathers, these patriarchs, these men of God to hear the very voice and word of God? What a tremendous honor to hear something from the one that created them. But He also spoke not to those who would just hear what He had to say and live their own life the way they wanted to. He spoke to the fathers who were those who used what God showed them. When God spoke, they listened. When God spoke to them and they heard what He had to say, they then went out and did what He told them to do. God didn't choose just anyone to reveal His Word to. God chose those that would use the Word that He gave. But who did He use to speak through? Who did God speak through according to verse 1? In old time, He spoke by the prophets, it says. By the prophets. These prophets that we have before us were those who faithfully recorded what God had said. And it's because of these faithful and reliable servants that we know exactly what God has said. We don't have to be left with any doubt about what God has said. In fact, we have the Word of God completely preserved for us so that we can know what God has said. I had a conversation with one of my employees just yesterday at work. And she was asking me about different versions of the Bible. And as I was talking to her about the different versions, and there's oodles and oodles of different versions out there, I was trying to steer her toward those versions that are faithful to the original text, that are faithful reproductions of God's Word as they were written originally. Not paraphrases. Not Bibles that are man's idea of what God has to say, but literal translations of what God has truly said. Because we have God's Word revealed to us, and we need to be faithful with it as well. How did He do this? It says that at sundry times and in diverse manners God spake by the prophets. We know this, that over a period of thousands of years, God revealed Himself to man through His Word. He also did it in different ways, through dreams, through visions, through handwriting, His own handwriting, and even through direct conversation. What a wonderful truth it is to know that God has spoken in the past. What a wonderful knowledge it is for us that God has spoken to our forefathers. God has spoken to us through His Word. What a wonderful truth. And we have His inspired words in our Old Testament. But many of you might be thinking, well, that was then. This is now. That was way back then. That was in old time, as it says in verse 1. But what about now? Hebrews reveals that as great and as wonderful as the Old Testament revelation is, there is a greater and still a better revelation, and that is God speaking through His revealing Son. Yes, back then, God spoke through reliable servants, but God is still speaking, and God now speaks through His revealing Son. And it goes on in verse 2, referring to God, who at sundry times in a diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That was then, but this is now. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. You see, God did not just speak in time past, but He speaks even now in these last days. You see, God did not just speak to the fathers, as it says in verse 1, but as it says in verse 2, He speaks even now unto us. He speaks even now unto you and to me. It's not something that is relegated to the past where God spoke, but God continues to speak to you and to me. He has never left Himself without a witness. He has always chosen to reveal Himself to you and to me, to His creation. And He does so even now. God did not just speak through the prophets, but He speaks even now, today, by His Son. This is the greatest revelation of God to man. This is how God speaks today. He speaks continuously through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how God has spoke to you. Yes, it is a better revelation, but it is a continuation of His speaking. We need to understand that when God spoke in time past through the prophets, and now in these last days God speaks through His Son, they are not two separate and distinct revelations. Rather, it is a continuation. It is a growth. It is a progress, a culmination with a perfect revelation of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is a continuation of God speaking, but it is a completion of His speaking. It is Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness of His Father, and that is how God is speaking. God has spoken. And my question for us this morning is, are we listening? Are we listening to God's Son? Are we listening to the pinnacle of His revelation of Himself to you and to me? And that pinnacle is His Son. Are we listening to God's Son? Why should we? Because God the Son, Jesus Christ, reveals everything that you need to know about God. Jesus Christ reveals to you everything that you need to know for salvation from your sin. Jesus Christ reveals everything that you need to know about living a life that is pleasing to God, your Creator. Why should you listen to God's Son? Because He is the living Word of God. As we read in John chapter 1 this morning, John chapter 1 verses 1 through 14, it talks about, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That name and that title, Word, is expressly given to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is the direct speaking, the direct revelation of God to man. And that is why we need to listen. The rest of verse 2 through verse 3, we see six important reasons to listen to God's revealing Son. Six vitally important reasons of why we should listen to God's revealing Son. In time past, God spoke through the prophets, and He continues to do through His Word. But now, God speaks through His Son, as recorded in His Word. And these are six vitally important reasons why you, this morning, need to listen to God's Son. If you don't want to listen, it shows that you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning, I want you to consider these six reasons with me. The first important reason to listen to God's revealing Son is that Jesus Christ is the sovereign Word. Jesus Christ is the sovereign Word. Have you ever wondered what everything is really for in this world? Why does this world exist? Why is there sunshine on some days and why is it cloudy and rainy and snowy on others? Why is it that the earth revolves around the sun every year? Why is it that the moon revolves around the earth? Why is it that this universe is made in such a way? Why is it that you were placed in Greenfield, Indiana, or the place in which you live? Why is it that you have the family that you do? Why is it that you have the physical infirmities that you have? Have you ever wondered why things are the way they are? If you've ever wondered that, then you need to listen to God's Son, who is the sovereign Word, because He answers those questions. He, as the sovereign Word, reveals to us what everything is for. In fact, in the second phrase of chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us why we need to listen to God, why we need to listen to God's Son for an answer to these questions. It says concerning Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. This is a very important reason why you and I ought to listen to God's Son. It is because He has been appointed heir of all things. What is an heir? An heir is someone who has a rightful claim to someone's estate. Over the last several months, I've been able to work over with a bank with some of my former clients' children because my customer has passed away. They died. And so their children come in and they have all this paperwork and they're trying to claim the estate of their parents, their mother or their father. And I remember one particular situation. There was an old woman that passed away and her son and her daughter came in and they had no idea what they needed to do. Everything was in their mother's name. They didn't know exactly how much she had. They didn't know where they needed to turn, what they needed to do. They didn't know anything about how to claim. But they did know that they had exclusive rights to the money that was on account in their mother's name. Why? Because her will stated that they were there, that they were her heirs. An heir is someone who has an exclusive legal right to the estate of someone. And so I was able to give them some guidance as far as where they needed to go, who they needed to see, what paperwork they needed to bring back in. And over the course of several weeks, as they brought in the paperwork, the letters of testamentary, the death certificate, basically the IRS release, and they brought all this paperwork in, and they sat down at my desk, and I was able to go through all the different assets that their mother had in excess of $200,000. And they were amazed at how much she had put away, she and her husband had put away for them. And so I got everything withdrawn, and I put them in the form of two checks. And I gave one to her, and I gave one to him, and their eyes lit up. And they said, "This is ours now." I said, "It's yours now. It doesn't belong to your mother anymore." After, of course, the state taxes are taken away, they don't owe anybody anything. That is now their money. They have inherited what rightfully belongs to them. You see, God the Father has also placed and appointed His only begotten Son to be the heir of all things. Of all things. Which means that everything belongs to Jesus. Everything belongs to Jesus. You want to know why everything in this world exists? Why you're put in the place and predicament that you're in today? The reason is because of the sovereign Word of God. The reason is because you and everything in this world belongs to Jesus. He is the heir of all things. Everything is His. Everything is under His care. Everything is under His control. Everything, including and especially you. You belong to Him. Everything about you belongs to Him. Everything that surrounds you belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. And God has spoken to you this morning through His sovereign Word. Are you listening? Have you ever wondered how everything came to be? Have you ever wondered, really, did we come from monkeys in a big bang? Have you ever really wondered if the account in Genesis chapter 1 that talks about how this world was created and how man became, have you ever wondered whether this was true? If you've ever wondered that, then you need to listen to God's Son, who is not only the sovereign Word, but He is also the supreme Word. Look at the next phrase in chapter or verse 2. It says, again, referring to Jesus Christ, by whom also He made the worlds. By whom also He made the worlds. God the Father used His only begotten Son to be His agent in creation. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, where we see the creating act of God through this world, it says, "And God said, let there be light. And God said this, and God said that." When God said in Genesis 1, it was the work of God's Son, the living Word. He is the Word. He is the Creator. He is the One who gave life to all men. Colossians 1:16 describes this for us as well. For by Him, referring to Jesus Christ, if you look back in Colossians chapter 1, it's referring to Jesus. For by Him were all things created. Again, key word, all things. By Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. This means not only that everything belongs to Jesus, but that everything was created by Jesus. Everything. You've ever wondered how things came to be? You need to listen. You need to listen to Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is the supreme Word, because God has spoken through Him. Are you listening? Are you really listening to what He has to say to you this morning? Perhaps you've wondered who God really is and what He's really like. Perhaps you've wondered who He is and what He's really like. Then you need to listen to God's Son, who is the showing Word. The third important reason why we need to listen to God's Son is because Jesus Christ is the showing Word. Jesus Christ reveals the Father. Jesus Christ reveals all you need to know about God. Through His own person, Jesus Christ shows and reveals, in verse 3, both the glory of God and the nature of God. He describes what God is like and who God is. Look at verse 3. again referring to Jesus Christ, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, God the Father sent His only begotten Son to perfectly reveal Himself to you so that you would know who God is. And you would know what God is like. And you would know all you need to know about God. God has not left Himself without a witness. There are so many people in this world, perhaps there are people in this church, that really wonder who God really is. You don't have to be left out in the dark. You don't have to be curious. And you don't have to always live your life wondering if you have a God that is the way these people say He is, or the way this other group or religion say He is. You can know what God is like because God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father sent His only begotten Son to perfectly reveal Himself to you. And we see Him revealing the glory of God. It says, who being the brightness of His glory. The brightness of His glory. Some of you may have seen me just before the service come over here and pull the shades, darken those shades. Because when you stand right here, I think Ed will probably attest to this and a few others might. When you stand right here and it's a nice shiny day, the sun will be bouncing off its light from one of the cars that sits there. I don't know whose car it is, but I think it's the same one every Sunday. No. It's something on the other side of the lot. And that beam of light is like a laser beam, and it hits right here in the pulpit. But that is a picture of the radiance of the sun and how bright and how powerful and how beautiful and how amazing it is. But that is also a picture of how bright and how beautiful and how bold and powerful the radiance of Jesus Christ is for the glory of God. Jesus Christ reveals God's glory to you. What is God's glory? God's glory is the outward manifestation, the outward revelation of His own character and attributes. In other words, what God is, He doesn't hold to Himself. What God is, He shines to the world. What does the Bible say? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. What we see in the beauty of this world and the order of this creation in this universe, everything good and everything wholesome is a direct revelation of God's glory. And the glory is the radiance of who He is and what He's like. And Jesus Christ Himself, it says here, is the brightness of His glory. He is the brightest and greatest and most beautiful illustration of the glory of God. Like the rays of the sun. John 1:14, which we read earlier, says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ reveals the glory of God to you. If you want to know what God's like, you don't need to look any further than Jesus Christ and how He's revealed in Scripture. But Jesus Christ was also sent to reveal the person of God, His very nature, His essence. What makes God, God, Jesus Christ reveals. Jesus Christ reveals God's nature to you, says in verse 3, because He is the express image of His person. The express image of His person. Basically, Jesus Christ Himself is the exact impression of God's nature. The Greek word for impression or image here is character. A very interesting word. A word that we use in our English language all the time. What is someone who has good character? It is someone who has a character or a morality about them that is based on someone else. They reflect the goodness of someone else. Who do they reflect? Have you ever talked about a child and say, that child has good character? We not only hear it in churches, we hear it in the world as well. Employers are looking at applicants to hire them who have good character. In fact, over at work, we've been looking at different candidates for a position where so that they can come and we can have a position filled. And we literally had 20 applicants for this one position. And as I was talking to our human resources department, the lady that would do the initial interviews, and I was talking to another lady, another manager, they were telling me about what they were looking for in the ideal candidate. And one of those things was someone with character. What give someone good character? Character is simply a reflection of someone else. A reflection of the nature of someone else. But what gives someone good character? They have to reflect the nature of someone good, right? They have to reflect the nature of God Himself in order to have good character. If someone has bad character, they're reflecting the nature of someone else. But Jesus Christ is the exact impression of the nature of God. He is like the image on a coin that was minted from a die. If you've ever taken a look at your coins, I know some of you may be collecting the state quarters. They're out in full force. There's a bunch of them. If you just pull out a handful of quarters, you'll see all the different states on there. How are those coins made? Well, at the U.S. Mint, and there's several mints throughout the United States, at the U.S. Mint, there are engravers that create a die. And with this die, they make an impression of what they want those quarters and what those pennies and what those other coins to look like. And what they do with that die is they have a front die and a reverse die. And then they stick a blank piece of metal in between those dies, and it punches and impresses that stamp upon it, and so you have a quarter. Every quarter that is hit by that die looks exactly the same. But each one of those quarters is completely separate. And we need to understand that about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God the Father, but He is a distinct person as well. Here we have for us the Trinity unfolded. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Yet Jesus Christ, if you want to know what God is really like, if you want to know the character of God, all you've got to do is look at His Son, Jesus Christ. John 14:9, Jesus said to Philip, "He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father." He says, if you want to see what God is like, just look at Me, because I am the express image. I am cast in the same mold. I am deity. I am God. Have you ever wondered who God is like? You need to listen to Jesus Christ, because God has spoken through Him. Are you listening? Are you listening to the only one who can reveal to you who God really is and what He's really like? Perhaps you've wondered what it's going to take to make it through this life. You know, this life is a difficult life. This life, with all its trials and with all its temptations, they seem like they bombard us from every place and every which way. Seems like we have more problems, problems upon problems. The older we get, the worse we feel. And then our families seem to be fighting, and we're losing our money, all the gas prices are going up. Things seem to get worse and worse and worse. Have you ever wondered what it's going to take to make it through this life? If you've ever wondered that, then you need to listen to God's Son, who is the sustaining Word. You see, Jesus Christ is the sustaining Word. This is the fourth important reason why you should listen to God's revealing Son. It's because Jesus Christ is the sustaining Word. It goes on in verse 3, referring to Jesus Christ, who upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds all things. Again, a wonderful and important phrase, all things. He upholds all things by the word of His power. To uphold means to carry. This is what Jesus Christ does to all things. And when I say all things, when the Bible says all things, it means all things. Everything in existence. Everything He created. All things He created. All things He inherited. So all things He sustains and carries to their destined end. Just like a football player. One of the most difficult things to get out of a man's hand is a football out of a football player's arms. Especially if they made a touchdown with it, having run 80 yards and finally made their touchdown. They don't want to let go of that ball many times if that's their first or one of their more important touchdowns. So watching a little bit of the game yesterday, last night when the Denver Broncos played, and one of the carries that I saw was impressive because this particular player carried that ball and would not let that ball go, no matter who hit him, no matter what person tried to push the ball out of his hand. They always tried to grab it to get him to fumble, but he carried it to his destined end. That is a picture of what Jesus Christ does with all things. All things that He created, all things which He inherits, all things He carries to their destined end. And all things includes you. No matter what problems, no matter what circumstances you face, no matter what temptations you're enduring, God is the sustaining Word. He will, He can carry you through. How does He do this? It says, through the word of His power. Through His powerful Word. If I were to go on the field with some of those NFL players and try to carry a football 100 yards to the end zone, I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't last very long because I'm weak compared to them. In order to do that in the NFL, you've got to be strong. You've got to be mighty. You've got to be powerful. You've got to be large. You've got to be experienced. You have to have all these things on your side if you want to get from one end zone to the other and carry that football along the way. But there is someone more powerful and someone who can carry everything because of his own word. And you know what? Jesus Christ is not like a football player because he'll never fumble. No one can ever tackle him. He will achieve the destined end that he's carrying all things to. Jesus Christ is God's sustaining word. It says in Colossians 1:17 that he, referring to Jesus again, is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, he holds everything together. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like everything is just going off in so many different directions. But if you want to know how you can make it through this life, you need to listen to God's sustaining word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who can carry these things together. He is the one that can hold these things together. Like the wonderful chorus says, he is able. He is able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. God has spoken to you through his sustaining word. Are you listening to him this morning? Are you listening? Perhaps you've wondered whether you could be with God someday. You hear of how wonderful and how powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is. You hear how he created all things. You hear how he is inheriting all things. You hear how he is going to carry and uphold all things and sustain all things. And you wonder, could I be with God someday? If you want to know whether you can be with God someday, then you need to listen to God's Son, who is also the saving word. And this is the fifth important reason why you need to listen to God's Son. It is because Jesus Christ is the saving word. It goes on in verse 3. When he, referring to Jesus Christ, had by himself purged our sins. To purge means to cleanse. The word that is translated purge comes from a word, katharismon, which we get words like catheter or cathartic. A cleansing. Oh, how filthy we are. Oh, how sinful we are. Oh, how we need cleansing from sin. You know, I don't mean to be crass, but every single one of us is like a soiled baby. A baby who has soiled its diaper and can do nothing about it. That is a picture of every person apart from Christ. You're not a believer this morning. You're like a baby with a soiled diaper and can do nothing about it. It stinks. It's filthy. If nothing happens, it can be disease-ridden. It's dangerous. All these things are a picture of what it is like to be without Christ. And just like that baby who can do nothing about its soiled diaper needs cleansing, so you and I need cleansing. We need to be cleansed. In order to be with God someday, we must be cleansed by God some way. How does this happen? Through the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This catharsis is provided only by him. It's not by any other means. There is no other way you can be cleansed from your sin. The Bible says very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are filthy people. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves, but Jesus Christ did. There's no other way. You know, this last week it was disturbing to hear on the news about the Muslims that are on their annual Hajj, their pilgrimage, if you will, to Mecca. And it was amazing because part of this particular Hajj, they are supposed to perform the stoning of the Jamarat. Did I pronounce that right? I don't know. But it's a particular function that they have to do in order to cleanse themselves from sin. And if you heard on the news, some 345 people were trampled to death as a result of trying to go to these pillars and throwing stones at them. It's also referred to as the stoning of the devil. In the city of Mina, Saudi Arabia, just east of Mecca, there stands three stone pillars not too far from each other. And these three stone pillars represent the supposed three times that the devil tempted Abraham. It's never found in the Bible, so it never happened in this situation. And these people, these Muslims on their Hajj, they go to these three pillars, and they're supposed to hit it with seven stones, each pillar with seven stones. And of course, sometimes they miss. So they got to grab a whole bunch of stones and they start plucking them. They start throwing at them like they're stoning the devil. And you know what they think that what happens when they do that? They think that they are cleansing themselves from sin. It was only that easy, right? But you know what? It is that easy because Jesus Christ cleansed our sins for us. We don't have to cleanse ourselves from it. We can't. If we were to ask forgiveness for one sin, what often do? We go out and commit it again and do another. We are filthy people, but as Jesus Christ, who is the catharsis, He is the one who can cleanse us. There is no other way. There is no other person. There is only Him. If you want to know how you can be with God someday, you've got to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, because He Himself purges our sins. God has spoken to you through His cleansing and saving Word. Are you listening to Him? Because if you don't listen to this Word, if you don't listen to God's saving Word, you will never be saved. You will never be cleansed. This is critical. God has not left Himself without a witness. God has not said, okay, I'm going to let you live your life and try to meet up with me at the end. No, He provided a way by giving a cleansing through His Son, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've wondered whether what you believe is really true. Sometimes we are filled with doubt about our walk with God and through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we wonder if what we believe is really true. If you doubt and if you wonder this, then again, I need to point you to listen to God's Son, who is the settled Word. He is the settled Word. And this is the sixth and final important reason why you need to listen to God's Son. It's because Jesus Christ is the settled Word. Look at the last phrase in verse 3. Again, it's referring to Jesus Christ, who sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. This particular place is a place of prominence and authority that is reserved only for the one who has the right to be there. And only Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten of the Father, is there. Why? Because He is the only one who has the right to be there. Therefore, everything He is, everything He has done, everything He says has been approved by God, because God has placed Him in this position. God has spoken to you through His settled Word. What you believe about Christ is true. What the Bible says about Christ is true. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is all about Jesus Christ. It is not about you. It is not about anything else. It is about Him. That is what a Christian life is all about. It's all about Him. God has spoken to you through His settled Word. Are you really listening to Him? When someone tells us something important, there are times that we forget. And sometimes when we're challenged by that person, I told you that, sometimes we have an excuse and we'll say, You never told me that. You and I will never have this excuse when we appear before God. You and I will never be able to go to God and say, You never told me that. Why? Because God has spoken. God has spoken. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, He hath also in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God has spoken. The problem is, have we listened? You know, it is not the acquisition of God's Word that is the problem. We have an abundance of God's Word. In fact, God's Word, the Bible, has been translated into over 2,200 languages. 2,200 languages and even more every year. Over 500 million Bibles are distributed throughout the world every single year. And a statistic that came from Zondervan Publishing House is that in the last 200 years, over 5 billion Bibles have been printed. It is not the acquisition of God's Word that is the problem. There is, perhaps, a Bible in existence for every person in existence in this world. The problem is the attendance to God's Word. It is the listening and the hearing of what God has to say. God has spoken. but are you listening? That is the real problem, and that's the real question for you this morning. So are you listening to God's revealing Son? He reveals so much about who He is and what He's like and what He's done. If you have a burning question in your mind, God has an answer through His Son, Jesus Christ. God has spoken, and the only way that you and I will truly understand what He has to say is when we listen to Him speak through His Son. Let's listen to the Lord. Let's listen to what He has to say to us. And when He speaks, let's not only listen, but let's obey. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have spoken. We thank You that You have spoken through Your Word. We thank You that You have spoken to us today through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the most difficult, some of the most trying questions that we have as people can all be answered if we just listen to the One that You sent to reveal Yourself. We would only listen to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will convict those here this morning who are not listening to Jesus Christ. They listen to the voices of so many other people and so many other things, and yet they fail to recognize that if they but listened to Jesus, they would have their answers. Lord, I ask now that You will help us all to think about what it means to listen to Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to consider in your own heart that God has spoken. He spoke in time past, yes, but He even speaks now. He speaks now through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you listening to Him? The only way that you will receive the answers to life's most difficult and trying questions is to listen to Jesus. Because He created all things, He will inherit all things, and He sustains everything until their destined end. He's got the whole world in His hands. Are you going to listen to Him now? Father, again, I pray that You will help us to listen. I pray that this morning as we leave this place that we will be ready to listen to Your Word, to listen to our Savior Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, I pray that this will be the day that they listen to God's saving Word. For it's in His name we pray these things. Amen.